G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
As we do on a Thursday, we do like to check in with Greg Bonder, Family Voice Australia State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Hello, Greg. Welcome back to 2020.
Hello, Neil. Good morning.
Greg, before we get into some of those issues I mentioned, just to say there is something significant that's happening today. A day in court. The Satanists are taking the Queensland State Government to court and wanting access into Queensland State schools to teach religious instruction classes. And it might be a bigger discussion next week when we find out what the outcome might be. But what are your thoughts for the fact that that is actually happening today?
Yeah, look, very disappointed, Neil, but I agree with the Queensland Education Minister, quite frankly, and who called it a stunt, and it's nothing more than a stunt, really, because what the Satanists are trying to do, Neil, really is to try and piggyback onto this religious freedom bill. They're saying that Satanism is in fact a religion, but what they're actually doing, Neil, is to promote Satanism and claiming that Satanism will rebel against the Christian God. And they want to be able to use pentagrams, black cloaks and skulls and candles and phrases like, "Do you believe it? Hail Satan." We do not want this in our education system, Neil. So look forward to hearing the outcome of the court case today.
We will look forward to it and we will talk about it. And some will say, well, if it's a stunt, why are we talking about it? The interesting thing here, Greg, that if there are such things as Satanists who worship the devil, and as far as I'm aware, the Satanists deny there is a devil. So that's an interesting twist in all of that. But that's very interesting because the devil is in the context of our Christian biblical understanding of the way things work in the spiritual realm. So in some sense, the Satanists getting a little attention here, actually, in some sense, for the Christian believer, and lots of Christian believers have some background in occult, they know this stuff is actually real. But it actually, for the rest of us, will say there's an opportunity to give glory to God because there's someone who's actually promoting what we might even align with, a Christian view. So there's a positive in there, but let's not get into that because there's plenty of other things to talk about. Let's save the rest of that conversation perhaps for next week.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk the new research that's come out. Same-sex parenting, the silent victims, some evidence growing of the destructive nature of same-sex parenting. What are your thoughts on what's been happening? I think this is a story out of the UK.
Yeah, it is out of the UK and also some work out of the USA as well, Neil, because I've been following this very closely because there are more and more children being born today under the same-sex marriage regime. In other words, what's happening is that they're claiming that same-sex marriages give the child the same upbringing as a heterosexual marriage. Well, Neil, unfortunately, that is not the case. There is research now that shows, especially out of Kansas State University, that challenges the old mantra that there is no difference between the experiences of children of same-sex parents and those of the opposite sex. Well, that is not true, Neil. In point of fact, this research study has shown that there are issues concerned with family stability, sexual abuse of children by parents, sexual orientation, mental health, and the consequences of same-sex marriage are quite real. And we need to be aware of this, Neil, because you and I as Christians know that we're committed to the authority of Scripture. And we believe in a husband and wife being the ideal marriage to bring up children in.
So that research from Kansas State University, and listeners might want to follow through and find out what it says word for word. Interesting when you raise this, because there is a contrast between what the biblical Christian believes about family, about marriage, than what our society has adopted as that definition's been deconstructed. And I guess it's worth coming back to, time and again, just what the Christian believes about marriage based on a biblical view. What are your thoughts here, Greg?
Yeah, look, Neil, unfortunately, I've got to make it clear that according to my reading of the Bible, marriage is purely heterosexual, and you only have to go to Mark 10, 6 to 8, or Genesis 2 to 24, which really tells you clearly that marriage is between a husband and a wife. The unfortunate thing about this, Neil, is that there are so-called professing Christians, and we've seen this and we've spoken about this over the weeks, Neil, that there are churches out there that still want to make sure that marriages can be between same sexes. Well, Neil, it is unbiblical. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, then you've got to say marriage is heterosexual, Neil, and there's biblical proof for that. So let's not kid ourselves, Neil.
Well, some will say, let's not ruffle everybody's feathers. Let's just go along with the flow. Well, those changes have happened. But, of course, the Bible does not change. And as Christian believers deepen their faith and go to new levels of maturity. And we're all on a journey, and some of us quite immature as Christians, some growing in maturity to a whole new level and appreciating the value of biblical truth. And you can't escape this one. The Bible isn't changing. Marriage is between a man and a woman. You've got to adjust, haven't you here, Greg?
Absolutely. Look, again, I want to make the point that same-sex marriage, there is no place in the context of a Christian worldview. And promoting same-sex parenting, Neil, quite frankly, is a recipe for the disaster of the family as we know it, where a child is brought up with a mother and a father, a biological mother and a father, because otherwise they're going to be really, really suffering. And research is now pointing to that. There's a Christian newspaper in the UK as well that has highlighted the disadvantage of same-sex marriage. So, Neil, let's keep an eye on it, because really it is very destructive in its intent.
And there are some in the community, and even some in the Christian community, that find it, you know, in that sense, confronting. Even some will say offensive to hear that that's what the Bible teaching is. But as you say, and as I maintain too, the Bible isn't changing. And as Christians, sometimes, even though we might have compassion for people who are going through all sorts of challenging and even confusing situations in their lives, we can't ignore that the Bible is quite clear on issues around marriage. Hey, let's talk Olympics. When we've talked Olympics before, and pre-Olympics, we've sort of said, it's the wokest Olympics ever, and there are all sorts of things that made the Olympics quite woke, with the inclusion of transgender people in the Olympics and the threat to women's sport. Hey, but you've been identifying those Christian believers who've been quite open about their faith and doing well in their way that they are serving God with their gift as athletes. What are your thoughts for what's happened in the Olympics?
Yeah, Neil, as you said, we spoke about the woke Olympics, and no doubt we saw the kneeling down on one knee. We saw the transgender people getting out and what have you. So, but I want to have some good news, Neil, and really we need to make sure that we as Christians identify those people that are declaring their faith in the public arena. Now, you and I both know Eric Liddell. Remember the Scotsman who won the wonderful Christian missionary who won that 1924 Paris Games, the 400 metres race.
He was immortalised in the movie Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, what a great movie. I got tears in my eyes, Neil, I have to tell you. The last time I got tears in my eyes was The Sound of Music, but that was... but this is a wonderful achievement. But look, Neil, look what's happened in the Olympics, and I'm so pleased. I got tears in my eyes again because these people are declaring their faith in the public square. The Fiji Rugby Sevens, they gathered together and sing a hymn. The US swimmer, Caleb Dressel, 24-year-old, won the 100 metres butterfly. Caleb put all my trust in God was a statement. Committed Christian Sydney McLaughlin, again, Olympic 400 metre hurdle, said, giving the glory to God. South African Titania Shoemaker, the 200-metre breaststroke people, gave all glory to God. US runner and teenager, Ating Mu, 800 metres Olympic gold. And she said this, as a follower of Christ, our main goal is to live in the image of Jesus in order to connect to God and get to God. Now, that's fantastic. Nicola McDermott, high jumper. She's a devout Christian, reads scripture every morning before going to compete. And the Campbell sisters, what about them? Kate and Bronte. mother read Bible to them every time at their Baptist church. But Neil, what a wonderful story that these Olympians can claim Jesus as their saviour and do it in a public arena. I think that's got to be well worth mentioning now.
And you know what? The direct connection between sport and the biblical Christian, and it comes down to the Apostle Paul, who had a wonderful saying about running the race, and that really does connect the idea of being a sportsman, and there's meaning to sport too. There's a goal in sport. Your thoughts on, is it 1 Corinthians chapter 9?
Yeah, so, Neil, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. They are wonderful scriptural verses that one needs to take out into the public arena now.
And nice to bring that reflection on the Olympic Games, that there was a wonderful, wonderful dimension there in those athletes who are not ashamed of their faith and not ashamed to speak up and talk about their faith and give glory to God for their athletic achievements. Hey, let's talk about Sydney. An example has emerged in Sydney where the rights of women are being trumped by those who are transgender. What's the story here, Greg?
Look, this is fascinating. Now, look, there is an actual organisation called the Feminist Legal Clinic. Now, that's fine, they're a feminist legal firm, but they have been set up to assist women and girls who have been abused by men, husbands or boyfriends or whatever the case may be, and they've suffered male violence. All of a sudden, the Sydney Lord Mayor, the Sydney County Council, for want of a better word, have decided not to fund their premises anymore. They've taken funding away because they failed to recognise transgender people. And the centre was arguing, look, this is a centre to give legal advice and support to women. Now, if you've got a male coming in who claims to be a female coming into the centre, that really counters the whole purpose of the centre. So quite frankly, you know, the council has joined the ranks of many Australian institutions now that are enthralled to the gender identity ideology, which is really sad now.
And as I understand it, the Sydney Lord Mayor has terminated a fairly modest accommodation grant to this group. And that's the thing that's a big concern here, because that in itself makes a statement about these people making their advice available to women who are under some level of vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, it was only $10,000, the accommodation that the council subsidised them. And I've spoken to the centre since, Neil. They've now had to relocate and go further out into the western suburbs. And see, this highlights, Neil, the collision between sex-based rights of women and girls and the asserted rights of those who declare a gender identity to be protected by discrimination law. Now, Neil, it's getting out of hand. We can't let women and girls who just seek support from their legal centre because of male violence to be infiltrated by these transgender people who want to say, well, I am being discriminated against by not being allowed to be part of this women and girls, you know, protection. Neil, it's got out of hand. It's ideology gone mad, and we need to make sure that we pray for this organisation now.
It is a prayer point, and we'll talk about any campaigns you've got going and give the website in just a few moments. Just another quick issue, if we can squeeze this in, Greg. A new documentary on Netflix called Pray Away, showing contempt for Christianity. What's wrong with this particular documentary?
Well, Neil, it's nothing more than a denigration of Christianity, quite frankly. Look, the film, the latest documentary, Pray Away, is yet another attack on Christianity by Hollywood. Much of the media, you and I know, love to denigrate Christians, and this film shows the contempt the entertainment industry has for Christianity. Quite frankly, there is a person who detransitioned, Neil, left the gay community and found God. And the film is now saying that, well, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's really doing. And what the film is trying to tell us that if you are denying your sexual desires to follow Christ, you are just fooling yourself. Well, Neil, here's another film, very much Hollywood motivated, against Christianity, and we've just got to make sure that we're careful what we watch on TV, and quite frankly, turn Netflix away, you know, just go to somewhere else, because what's happening here is this is indoctrination again, trying to make us think that Christianity is not worth, you know, believing in. And Neil, this is another attempt by Hollywood to denigrate Christianity, which is sad.
And the idea of hypocrisy or contradictory double speak in all of this around people who have challenging sexual identity here, this is an example of that, Greg.
Yes, it is. I mean, look, this is the real irony and the contradiction of the whole movement. The LGBTIQA plus, or I call it the alphabet movement, on the one hand tells you that gay identity is utterly unchangeable. Yet on the other hand, it tells you that sexuality and gender are fluid. Make up your mind. What is it? Is it one or the other? So really, I think they contradict themselves. Their motives are impure, I believe. And it's an opinion that I've held for a long time. And when you've got films like this coming out, like Pray Away, all it does is denigrate Christianity. And we as Christians in the public arena all need to get out there and pray and make sure that we have our voices heard out there by all, in particular, I guess, Netflix and Hollywood, if you want to go that far.
And I think so many listeners will be aware of that doublespeak, that contradiction that is there in the LGBT movement, because as you'll remember, Greg, the lead up to the marriage vote, we got same-sex marriage in Australia because sexuality doesn't change and you have to have same-sex marriage. But ever since then, the whole movement has been all about being gender fluid, because that's better for actually growing the movement and enlarging the reach. So, yes, big doublespeak, big contradiction, and for those who look for hypocrisy, that is another issue there in that. Hey, Greg Bondar, always good getting your insights. Any particular campaigns to be aware of that you've got running this coming week?
Yes, we have, Neil. Very quickly, we've got we've got a webinar with Greg Sheridan on Monday night. Just go to our website and have a look at that, and I'll update you next week on some really exciting events coming in the coming weeks now.
And no doubt you'll be talking to Greg Sheridan about his new book, Christians, and you can register to be part of that, familyvoice.org.au. familyvoice.org.au. Greg Bondar is Family Voice Australia State Director for New South Wales and the ACT. Greg, thanks so much for the update today on 2020.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.